Hey, CJ Boat here from Small Screen Spoiler Show and the Geek.io Show, here to tell you about my brand new album, The Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos. Do you like post-apocalyptic fantasy novels? Then this is something for you. In this world, I spin a tale of fantastic creatures, vengeful gods, and even a cyborg dragon. Chronicles of Athelor, The Heart of the Deimos tells an engrossing story set in a rich and fleshed-out universe, and it deserves a place on your reading list. Head on over to geek-io.net/Athelor and pre-order the novel now for just $4.99. That is geek-io.net/athalor.
We're going to start in the one, the two. Oh, wait, countdown.
This is the Generic Live Show. This is Dale Campbell.
That's right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show 22 for 22 July 2015. I timed that perfectly. I'm Dale Campbell with your weekly dose of genericness from around Australia and the world. That's right, I sincerely apologize for last week. We weren't here last week, as you may have noticed. So, and we are going to make up for it next week. We're going to be doing two double shots in a row to make up for that missed show. We're not going to call it a separate show or anything. We're just going to do a double shot next week. I was going to do a Friday show, but kind of things got a little hectic here on Friday, so I didn't do that, did I? So we're gonna do a double shot next week, just to make life a little bit more easy, so you get the right amount of genericness for the month of July. That's right. If you are watching this live broadcast right here, you can submit your questions via Google Plus in the Q&A app. And you can send us some applause and what have you throughout the live broadcast. I need to share a story, though, before we get started in our jammed-packed program for this evening. And it is jammed-packed, and we're going to be geeking out a little bit here after the headlines with the Microsoft and Apple quarterly reportings. But a little bit of an anecdote, if you will, before the show. Of course, here in Australia, I'm such a shame to myself, and those people who watch me on the video or know me personally know that I'm not a person who can be perceived as a big eater. And I ordered in two pizzas tonight because, you know, I was sitting at my computer going, I'm feeling a bit peckish. I'm feeling like craving pizza. I'm craving a bit of a pizza. So I got online. Domino's, of course. I got in the mail today some coupons for Domino's. That's probably when my craving started. But Domino's has this thing here down under now where you can actually track the driver. So you can tell where the driver is at all times, which is kind of nifty. So I'm like, oh, I know when to exactly head downstairs, because I was up here doing a bit of voiceover work and doing a bit of prep stuff before the show started tonight. And I ordered two pizzas in garlic bread, which I haven't touched, by the way. And there is now five slices of pizza left out of the two pizzas that I ordered in. I've eaten so much pizza. That's like a pizza and almost a pizza and a half to one person. I feel so disgusted. But the person phoned me up and couldn't find the unit, so of course I had to go outside. And I was happy with the online experience. You know, they've gotten it a lot better since the last time I had to order it, plus the new tracking features are pretty nifty. But of course, I'm here, I'm in my element, I'm not nude or anything like that. I don't want to be too crass on this family-friendly show. But of course, I've worked out today, and of course, I earned myself a little treat. And so I went out the front. I'm in the shirt that you can see now in the video, which is a Secret Identity Andrew Anlin Trio shirt, which is amazing. Coverville Records shirt. And, of course, I'm in baggy exercise pants. So, and then I go out there and get these strange looks from the people across the road. They're looking at me going, what are you doing? Because I'm greeting the pizza guy and I had to sign them for the pizza, going, yeah, I'm down. These are my pizzas and I've already paid. And the driver drives off and I'm getting I got a wolf whistle from the people across the street. So, yeah, I got wolf whistled while picking up pizza. So, that was a little boost to my egotistic self. So, you know, pizza, and wolf whistle for the in bag. And I wasn't even dressed nicely. I was in a t-shirt and a pair of baggy exercise pants. So, you know, I'm glad some people, you learn these things from around when you do worldly things. People are into baggy exercise pants. So, you know, that's a little thing. And I wanted to share my shame of almost eating two pizzas on my own today, because I want you guys to share in the pain. Speaking of sharing in the pain, I'm just kidding. It's time. It's time for the headlines.
On to the news!
That's right, it's on to the news it is. Microsoft's earnings for the fourth quarter are in. They show an operating loss of $2.1 billion despite $22.2 billion in revenue. A lot was that due to the previously announced write-down of Nokia and 7,800 job cuts that caused a $7.5 billion hit. Of course, we all knew that was coming. But the other news is that revenue and operating income were slightly down from last year too. Microsoft sold 8.4 million Lumia phones in Q4 compared to 5.8 million last year, but revenue dropped 38% to 748 million as the company looks forward to Windows 10. Revenue in that division dropped 22%, a figure that attributed to XP's end of support cycle. The net loss in Q4 amounted to $3.2 billion, which BlueBank reports is its biggest loss ever. This occurs as Microsoft, under new CEO Satya Nadella, changes its approach to segments like hardware and the cloud. It made more money from hardware as the revenues of the Surface grew to $888 million. It's the devil's stepfather. And Xbox claimed 27% gain with 1.4 million consoles sold. That is an Xbox One and 360 combined, comparison to $1.1 million in the year. And we're going to talk more later on in the discussion about this and the following story. More about what are future statements for Microsoft. We're going to look forward to what Microsoft has in the next financial year. This following story is an Apple story, so be warned. There's an Apple story on its way. So that one hater who emailed me that time who hates Apple stories, this one's for you. As analysts try to read between the lines of today's financial update on how Apple watches Apple has sold, it may have overlooked the biggest shock. Yes, of course, in the headlines we like to showcase good and bad news. But Apple's CEO Tim Cook, in a question and answer session following the release of the quarterly figures, announced that the iPhone sales in South Korea were up 200%, and that on the back of the iPhone 6 launch, users switching from Android to iPhone are an all-time high. As the IDC research director Francesco Jaramaro says, that it means likely Apple is overtaking Samsung in its home market for the first time ever. But analyst Jan Dawson of Jackdo Research picked the figures apart to calculate that Apple has made between $1 billion and $1.2 billion in revenue through the Apple Watch since the smartphone was released on April 24, which means that Apple has sold between 2 and 3 million watches. Other analysts estimate the figure to be above $3 million and $1.4 million in revenue. Jeremaro tweeted, quote, whatever estimates you have for the Apple Watch, one thing is for sure. Apple has made more watches in 2Q15 than any other smartwatch vendors combined, unquote. And of course, we have more Apple news coming up after the headlines as well in about... we have Apple stuff in about 15 minutes or so. Unlike Australian laws, changing faces a little, security and motoring experts have warned drivers of Jeep Cherokee to install software update after hackers used a flaw in the car's information system to force it off the road. Wired's published a story by Andy Greenberg, which details how white hat hackers, they're the good guys, were able to demonstrate and expose a flaw in the car's infotainment system to take control of the vehicle while driving it at 100 kilometers per hour. The Wired journalist worked with security expert Charlie Miller and Chris Valsek, who installed a malicious code into the car's computer system after finding a backdoor in the Uconnect information system. After the first time the hackers turned up the stereo to blast Greenberg with sound, they blasted him with cold air through the air conditioner. It's a little scary. Then they took over the car's transmission and brakes, which, that's also scary. Miller and Valsek alerted Chrysler, the makers of Jeep, to the flaw, and a security update was issued in America last week, although the driver has to install a patch with a USB drive. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles have issued a number of statements saying that the security flaw does not impact vehicles sold in Australia. Quote, the FCAUSA was made aware of the potential issue within the Uconnect's external cellular connection. On July 16th, owners of the vehicles of the Uconnect feature were notified that an update was now resolved this wireless connection issue, the statement says. Scary. Now to more mockery of Australia's copyright retention laws, because that's always fun. Unlike Australian laws, which mandate the data retention for 2 years, British telecom providers were not required to retain data unless they have issued an official retention notice. But once the notice was given, providers would be issued to retain everything from the internet and webmail records to call and SMS data. However, a judgment handed down on Friday in the UK's High Court, one of the region's senior courts, ruled the scheme conventioned European law must be disapplied in the UK by March 2016. The court found access to data under DRIPA was not sufficiently restricted and that the process leaked independent prior removal. The High Court decision has reignited the debate on digital civil liberties and government surveillance. It has significant impacts on data retention in Britain and Europe, as well as other countries with government-sanctioned data collection schemes such as Australia and US. In video game news, Project Cars finally launched on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC in May. But after three delays and a few platform uncertainties, dating back to July 2012. The game, a realistic racing simulator from Need for Speed Shift developer Slightly Mad Studios, was supposed to launch on the Wii U this year as well, but it's not going to happen, according to GameSpot and other outlets. Slightly Mad Studios creative director Andy Tudor confirmed the cancellation, noting that Project Cars, quote, is simply too much for the Wii U, according to the site. Quote, desperate and much prevalence on the Wii U version of Project Cars. We no longer be actively pursuing development, and its quality does not meet how high standards nor intended version of the title on this platform, Tudor told GameSpot. Also, You know what they say about Texas? They make really good queso. And Texas is now home to the largest ranch in the U.S., over 500,000 hectares, and it's currently for sale. And just for $725 million, this little empire can be yours. Bloomberg has the insane inside story of the Rango Ranch, the U.S.'s largest ranch by acreage, that's contained a single fence, and the broker Bernard, and I'm going to butcher this last name, Yurisets, who's trying to unload it. Yotrich is one of two brokers entrusted with a similar task of selling the Rango Ranch and everything attached to it, from 29 tractors to the cut rock polo barn to emptied bottles of old Taylor bourbon embedded in the hunting lodge at 510,227 hectares, or 800 square miles, US dimensions. The Wager spalls over six countries, and it's bigger, or counties rather, that says countries, it should say counties, and it's bigger than Los Angeles and New York City combined. At almost $750 million, the asking price more than a quadruple. The biggest publicly known sum fetched by a U.S. ranch is $175 million for a Colorado spread in 2007. It also has four lakes and an oil field. That sounds like that would be amazing. That would be, you know, you couldn't really, I could live on that. I could, oh, you know what? Every single day, people are trying to convince me to move to the U.S. I might actually see what I have in petty cash and see if I have enough to move over to the U.S. and buy this ranch. I don't think I do, but it's worth a start. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the headlines. And I can't find the closing music because, yep, I can't find the closing music to this. You know what we're going to do? We're going to... I really can't find the... Can't find the closing music, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this instead. Yeah, that's the closing. That's the closing music of the headlines, and it's time for me to take a drink, because it's hard doing a one-man show. You'll understand when you're older. Hey, Microsoft! So, Microsoft. You know, I love you and all Microsoft, but here's the thing. Microsoft, I understand Microsoft is trying to find a new direction. And by the way, their stock is up today to 47.28, up 0.77%. And I don't know. It's important to mention that Microsoft returned $6.7 billion to shareholders in the form of share repurchases and dividends. You got to take that into consideration as well. Windows OEM revenue decreased 22%. Surface grew 117%. Xbox raised 27%. Search advertising, by the way, grew 21%. And Office 365 subscribers up to 15.2, with nearly three subscribers added into the new quarter. Commercial revenue up 4%. With cloud revenue growing 88%, server products and services grew 4%, Dynamics revenue up 6%, Office commercial products and sales revenue up declined 4%, so there's that, and Windows volume licensing revenue declined 8%. I have one theory, and I know I don't like doing theories much on this show, because it's not really that factual, but have a theory why our bulk buying is declined. Hers is not readily available, so yeah, take that for what you will. So business outlook. So here is the business outlook. Microsoft will provide forward-looking guidance in connection to this quarterly earnings announcement on its earnings conference call and webcast. So that's what the point of this is. Here's what its forward-looking statements are, and this is what I really want to focus on for Microsoft, because this is a new direction for Microsoft. This is a new space that Microsoft is heading. It was not about, even last quarter, we were talking about a completely different Microsoft, a completely different company. And a company now that was talking about, hey, we're focused on products, to now we're focused on getting a completely different thing. Like, we're now more focused on cloud and services and that sort of thing as well. And, I mean, and for Windows 10 to be available only on, you know, to be a download and to be free for those who have Windows 8 and Windows 7. For that to be the new Microsoft under Satya Nadella, that is an amazing thing. But anyway, I digress. So, forward-thinking statements. So, here is Microsoft's forward-looking statements. Of course, actual results may vary. So, here's what they're looking forward to. Intense competitions in all Microsoft markets. Increasing focusing on services presents execution and competitive risks. Significant investments in new products and services that may not be profitable. That's an interesting one. Acquisitions, joint ventures, strategic alliance may have an adverse effect on our business. Impairment of goodwill and amortized intangible assets causing significant change to earnings. Which, okay, for those who aren't income statement, well, balance sheet nerds, that means you've got a certain amount in goodwill that you set aside. They're aiming to reduce that goodwill and try and not hinge on people giving the company money, is what that's meant to mean there. Where was I up to? Microsoft's continued ability to protect and earn revenues from its intellectual property rights. Claims that Microsoft has infringed the intellectual property of rights of others. The possibility of unauthorized disclosure of significant portions of Microsoft's security costs, cyber attacks and security vulnerabilities in Microsoft products and services that could reduce revenue or lead to liability. So that's what they're trying to reduce that. Outages, data losses and disruptions to our online services if we fail to maintain an adequate operations infrastructure. So trying to avoid that, obviously. Government litigation regulation that may limit how Microsoft designs its markets and products. That could potentially happen. Australia and the UK. Potential liability under trade protection and anti-corporation laws resulting in our international operations. Australia and the UK. Microsoft's ability to attract and retain talented employees. Adverse results in legal disputes, unappreciated tax liabilities, Microsoft's hardware and software products that may experience quality or supply problems, exposure to increasing economic and operational uncertainties from operating a global business, catastrophic events or geopolitical conditions that may disrupt our business, and adverse economic or market conditions may harm our business. So here's the thing. So they handed out more dividends and that sort of thing as well to shareholders, but they lost 40 cents per share this time around as well. But I think here's the thing. If they're them changing the kind of direction of Microsoft as a whole is a good thing, and them having more of a services kind of outlook will kind of be more beneficial to them. Here's the thing though, like, I like where they're going with all this cloud business and changing their direction, and I am a massive support of goodwill reduction because goodwill is a liability. And if you reduce a liability, I don't know what that noise was. I will clip that out though and use it as a text tone. But I mean, goodwill is a liability, and you've got to reduce the liabilities at all costs. Because reducing liabilities means you get more profit. Actually, it means you have more equity if you look at the accounting formula correctly. But off that and onto Apple before we finish up here today, because God, it's already been half an hour with my shameful, shameful story. So, Tim Cook also got up this week and announced his quarterly orders. Quarterly orders! Announced his quarterly orders. Here we go. Announce your. Announce the quarter. The orders. So he announced his quarterly orders and says, "We did exceptionally well any way you look at," Cook said about the iPhone things as well. I mean, okay, Apple generated 49.6% in revenue, right? They predicted 49.4, so there's that. So they've earned more, but excuse me, than what they predicted. But look at this, right? So Apple said that it sold 47.5 iPhones in the June quarter, up 35%. However, it was at 49.4% that what they predicted. The iPhone accounted for 63% of Apple's total kind of revenue. So, and then you got the Apple Watch as well, which is not great considering you've got Apple with a range of products, of course, and you've got the phone making up what 60, where was it? 60 something, yeah, 63% of its all sales. You launched an Apple Watch. That you kind of want your new product to do better than in the other cluster of the minority of sales, you would think. And I really think the iPhone is a dying thing anyway, unless they really kind of revitalize it. I've been saying that for a year now, but anyway. They have strong sales in North Korea and China, like we mentioned as well. I mean, they had a weaker outlook in the September quarter, but they kind of bounced back now. So, I mean, you kind of can't. Apple performed well. I mean, it was down and up on a few things. But the iPhone's normally around 50%, this article by CNET reports. It's now at 63%. was at 59%. So it's up and it's down, but the Apple Watch needs to become more, I think, for it to really, really have more of an impact, because this thing is just says, oh, we sold a lot of iPhones. Well, what about the Apple Watch? Well, we sold a lot of iPhones. That's a start, right? That's really, really a start. So as you scroll down in this article, and we've got a couple of minutes here. So they've sold 2.79 million Apple Watches since April. Analysts say that they should have shipped. Sorry, they are predicted to ship 15.4 million, giving the company 54.8% of the global smartwatch market. Apple will sell, they believe, analysts reckon they believe they should sell 30 million watches in the year, 12 months after its launch. Here's the thing. They didn't really detail Apple Watch sales, but they lumped them in with other products, which also included iPads, which grew 49% the previous year. Of course, because you've included another line of products. The Apple Watch beat their internal. Sorry, here's the thing. Other products, quote unquote, other products, beat their own predictions. Well, okay. Other products? What's that meant to mean? So, I don't understand why be secretive with the Apple Watch numbers? I don't understand why they're so secretive with the Apple Watch numbers. It doesn't make sense. So, Apple Watch just still remains this. Apple thinks that it's still this taboo thing to talk about, and other lumping it with the other products is just weird to me. So there's still a bit. Oh, nothing to see here. There's nothing to see here yet. We sold a lot of iPhones, so Apple didn't really say much apart from we sold a lot of phones, and watches are still classified as other products. So it's kind of a meh quarter for Apple. So despite what had happened in the quarter, still a mediocre response from Apple. And on that note, we are going to get out of here. We are running a little bit long. It's 10:32, so we are running a tad bit long. But that's all right. So we had a big packed show anyway. You can find us at chefwondermedia.net/GLS, geek-o.net/GLS, chplus.to/genericliveshow, youtube.com/genericliveshow, support the Patreon at patreon.com/geekio. That's right. We are a part of the Geeko podcast network as well. So that's going to do it for this show. Next week, we are doing a double shot. We're doing two double shots in a row because we missed a week. So we were meant to have five shows in this month, but we're going to have four, two of which will be double shots. So next week, we're in store for a double shot episode. So stay tuned for a full hour and a bit with me here babbling on. And the week after that is also a double shot. The first Wednesday of every month is a double shot. So two double shots in a row. It's a double double shot. It's a double double shot of GLS. But that's going to do it for this week. Thank you for joining us. And we hope to see you again next week. And yeah, it's really weird ending this. Feels too soon. Too soon! Alright. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you all next time. Bye for now.
Listening to a program of the Chef Wonder Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwondermedia.net.
Copyright 2015. Geek.io. Geek. Geek. Geek.